I enjoy fishing. More than fishing, what I really like to do is catch. Casting a line. I've heard some people say a bad day fishing is better than a good day working. Noah and I went fishing a few months ago with a guide out at Pickwick. We'd gone with him before. And we enjoyed it. We caught several fish. And on one occasion I noticed the guide. You know, you have to learn from the people who take you, the professionals, right? The instructors. We watch what they do and we try to mimic their actions if we want to be good at something oftentimes. I noticed that the guy, when he caught a fish once, he just raised the rod real high and all at once just jerked the fish into the boat. I thought that was pretty cool. He didn't have to get his hand down in the water or do anything like that. He just pulled it all up real fast. Well, old Noah, he hooked a big one. I mean a big one. It had to be at least a 10-pounder, maybe 5-pounder. I'm not sure. The fact is, we don't know for sure because we never landed it. He got it on the line. We saw it. It was right on the edge of the boat, on top of the water, and then my instincts kicked in. I remembered my training from the guide, right? And I said, Noah, Noah, just pull it in the boat. And when he just pulled it in the boat, the rod broke half in two. And the fish got away. Now, it's sad enough that the rod broke and the fish got away. But the problem in this story was more than broken and insulted egos because we didn't get the fish. The rod didn't belong to us. It was the guide's. So I made an offer to buy the rod, to replace it. And you know, he took me up on that offer. I mean, what's the world coming to? You can't even be polite to someone without them thinking you really mean it. So it wasn't a great day fishing that day. It was just a good day. And sometimes that's the way it happens, isn't it? In fact, fishing's not always fun. Doesn't always go the way we want it to. Even in our world where we fish for fun and recreation, there are folks like that guide who fish for a living, where it's a way of life. More than that, more than just work, it's the way they survive when you get down to it. Isn't that what we do in our work? It's very essential to our mere survival as people of the flesh. It's what our work does. And in our scripture, on this day, we get up against that difference in between our view of fishing and the view of fishing to these folks that Jesus came in contact with on the lake there in Galilee. See, these guys weren't just merely out trying to make a great day out of a good day. These guys were earning their living, their survival. And this is where Jesus came to. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And we hear those words and we smile and we say, oh, it's so sweet. We get to fish for people. That's the way we hear it in our 2,000 years of history later. But in the first century world, they didn't hear it that way. They didn't hear it as something fun to go fish for people. When they thought of fishing, they thought of work. When they thought of fishing, they thought of getting up early in the morning. Staying up late at night. And worse, perhaps, even than that, they saw fishing as going into the darkness. See, we read this text with the Gospel of Luke, we hear with that exchange, some of you may be familiar, where Jesus called those disciples who'd been fishing. He said, take your net. You remember that story? Put it on the other side. And they brought in all these huge numbers of fish. You remember that story? But just before the results, the disciples responded to Jesus this way. But Master, we've been fishing when? We've been fishing all night. So often the fishing in the first century world was in darkness. Very appropriate. That Jesus says to these people, He is about to call into ministry. He lets them know, we're going fishing. Hey, we're not going to have fun. We're going to work. And not only that, they knew that the best fishing was at night. They knew they were going into the darkness and the brokenness of the world around them to give them light. Was their call. And that's our call today. As people of the light. As the church. We're called as we saw our acolyte come in this morning with light. To enrich our worship, we're called to take the light out. And give it to the world around us. Lynn was sharing this morning about, we were all talking about the explosion that occurred in New Albany this week that many of us have heard about. John said he missed two days of work as a result. Lynn shared that Kenny is going to work and he saw the flames. And he saw the same flames so vibrantly on his way to work because I suspect it was still dark. The darker it is, seems the greater the light around us shines, doesn't it? It stands out more. So we're called into the darkness to be the light and love of Jesus to a world that's hungry for His grace and mercy and life. Some of you may have seen a documentary on ESPN, ESPN to some of you. Some of you may have seen a documentary a few months ago on a baseball player and football player from Villanova named Matt Caesar. He was a standout in both sports. The elite performer for his team and in many ways, in the country, in the entire sport. Just before his football season, his senior year, the coach gathered the team and he asked them all to receive tests, to go through the legwork, to seeing if they could be possible donors for bone marrow. Just kind of a nice, fuzzy, fun thing to do, right? No harm done. Well, Matt Caesar went through the process, didn't hear anything for several months, was completing a very successful football season, and then about to go into what was really most important, his baseball season, where he was going to make the big bucks, where everyone would notice him, where he'd get drafted to play in the major leagues. He had reached the pinnacle, and then the phone call came. Matt, you're a match. You've been selected. You have an opportunity to donate bone marrow for someone else. I can only imagine his questions. Well, can't this wait till my season is over? Can't this wait until it's more convenient for me? Can't this wait until I don't have to risk giving up so much? But oftentimes the needs we face can't wait. The needs come to us. And they cry out from their darkness and they yearn for light and hope and love. And somehow Matt found within himself the encouragement and the energy to reach out of himself, as we heard in our Sunday school this morning, to reach out of ourselves and get out of ourselves. And he got into the world in need around him, and he gave. He risked his career. The success. The recognition of being a big baseball star. For the hated Chicago Cubs, mind you, but still a star, Price. And after he gave, and he got his career back online, he had some time to get back, to stand back away from the event and look at it, to process it. And this is what he said, you know. He said, in baseball, you can only hit the ball so far. In baseball, you can only throw the ball so hard. But when an opportunity like this comes to give, to save a life, he said, this is my greatest accomplishment yet. Friends, there's a world of darkness. And the good news of the gospel is, yes, we're called to be light. But the greater news is, when we're called to be light, not only do we give light to the other, but we, like Matt Caesar, share in the light ourselves. The joy of giving to the other, of being light into darkness. Now that's living. Now that's being the church. Now that's being people of faith. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. Judge Elliott called us this morning in Sunday school. He said, what's our mission? What are we going to be as a church? That's a question for all of us. Are we just going to be a place where we gather and just look at each other? That's not real fun, is it? You know, I was thinking about that this morning. Those high school dances, you remember those? You remember those high school dances? I remember the first dance one of our guys went to, and they said, well, how was it? Was it fun? No, it wasn't fun. Why? Nobody danced. They just sat around looking at each other. I don't blame them. That wouldn't have been fun to me either. And that's not fun in the church. I don't want to be a part of just sitting around looking at each other, do y'all? I want to do something. I want to love on each other. I want to be light to the darkness out there. I want to live, and hey, guess what? I want to dance. Maybe you're saying, I don't know how to dance. You know, a few years ago we celebrated a wedding. I've gone to preaching now. I don't even know where I'm at. I've forgotten all about the notes and preparation. A few years ago we had a wedding anniversary for my folks, and my papaw was getting very elderly at that time, and he couldn't walk good. And he came to that thing, and we had a band there. And there was dancing at this party. And my papaw got up with that old decrepit walk of his. He could barely walk, and he got on that dance floor, and my goodness, he cut a rug. One of my aunts accused him of being able to dance better than he could walk. I know it's hard for some of us to walk. It's hard for us to be the church. It's not easy to get up. It hurts to be light. But when we do, we dance and we live and we love and we know joy that we wouldn't know if we hadn't reached out. That's the church. That's the life of faith. Maybe you're saying, but Jody, I'm hurting myself. I'm grieving. I'm depressed. I'm sad. Whatever your ailment, whether it be physical, spiritual, mental, or emotional, I can understand that your appeal may be to me this morning. Jody, how can I be light when I'm living in darkness myself? I've had those questions. I've wallowed in that of myself. I remember a year or so ago, I was having one of those dark days, one of those depressing days. I just wanted to be in my pity, in my darkness, and wallow alone and not be bothered. About that time, I got an email from the seminary, which I serve as a member of the Board of Trustees. I'd forgotten to do something. I'd forgotten to write a letter to ask people to give money and support the ministry. And I did that, oh my goodness. Here I am in my darkness, my own brokenness, and they want me to do something for them. But I'd blown it. I'm the one who had forgotten, so I mustered up what energy I have. I put my words on paper, and something amazing happened through that exercise. When I chose, even in my darkness, to get out of myself enough to be light to the other, you know what happened? I found light in me. It invigorated my day. It turned my darkness into light. It turned my sadness into a little bit more of a pep in my step that day. When I live for the other, I found light. Maybe you're saying out there today, well, Jody, that's a real cute story. But it doesn't always happen. That's a real cute story, Jody, but it's not scriptural. Or is it scriptural? You may remember last week the reading I shared with you in the Gospel of John, where Jesus was being followed, remember that, by some disciples? And they wanted to know where he was staying, where he was going, and remember whose disciples they were? They weren't his disciples, they were John's disciples. They were John's disciples, and they followed Jesus. Remember their names? One of them was named Andrew. And he went and he got his brother Simon, who Jesus said, you're going to be Peter. Remember that story we read last week? Simon and Andrew, John's disciples, stay with me now. Hang in there. Hear what happens in our text today. Did you hear how it began? Look again if you need to. It said, when Jesus heard what? That John had been put in prison, he went and got who? Simon and Andrew, John's disciples. Can't you imagine the brokenness they felt? Can you envision the darkness and depression they were going through? Their leader was gone. Their church, for all practical reasons, seemed to be falling apart. And Jesus went to them in their darkness. And said, come with me and go be light. Friends, that's our call. As people of grace, to live in love and be light to the world.